I want to preach a message tonight out of Exodus chapter 17. If you'll look at verses 10 through 12, I want to preach a message titled, The Ministry of Hur and Aaron. The Ministry of Hur and Aaron. The Bible says in verse number 10, the Bible says, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And verse 13 talks about Amalek being defeated. Let's bow in a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be together. And Lord, thank you for the service. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for opportunities that lie before us. Lord, opportunities to not only impact our Jerusalem, but Lord, to impact the world, to impact other regions of America. Lord, we thank you for the burden of Mark and Joel Haynes to reach these Indians and this reservation with the gospel of Christ and to plant local indigenous churches, Lord, that could spread the gospel and glorify you. Lord, thank you for like-minded missionaries, Lord, in which we can go and be like-minded in what we believe and be able to have common ground and common fellowship. Lord, I pray that our church will see the vision tonight. And Lord, I pray that the people on the team going, Lord, will get a burden to be an Aaron or a Hur. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's message is really to stir up the team going for the task that is ahead. But it is also for you as a church to see the importance of short-term mission trips and being a help to other men, families, and their ministries. And so tonight I want you to kind of catch that heartbeat and that vision as I preach a message entitled, The Ministry of Hur or Aaron. Exodus 17 is really a great picture of those who went with Moses to help. It is really a manual for helps ministry, that is assisting and aiding leaders, pastors, and missionaries that God has placed over his churches and with the responsibility of accomplishing the Great Commission. Wherever you are, here's the proposition of the message. Here's the bullet of the message, if you will. Be an Aaron or a Hur. Wherever you are in life, be an Aaron or a Hur. In Romans chapter 16, Paul gives a list of 27 different folks that were helpers. That is, they were Aaron and Hurs to the work of the ministry, especially to the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. Or in other words, let me highlight this lady in that local church. She's a servant. She's a helper. She's an Aaron or a Hur to that ministry there in Caesarea. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. If you study Priscilla and Aquila and you remember the series of hidden heroes in the scripture, you remember about Aquila and Priscilla that they were constantly on the move with Paul. Sometimes they were bringing new believers into their home and helping men like Apollos to know more perfectly the way of the Lord. Sometimes they were helping the Apostle Paul with a place to live while he moved into an area and he began to evangelize and began to start to plant a church. But you find Priscilla and Aquila overwhelmingly throughout the scriptures helping the Apostle Paul. They were Aaron and Hur. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 9, the Bible says, salute Urbane. How many times do you hear about Urbane in the Bible? Anybody have Urbane as your hero? Really mentioned basically once. He's defined as our helper in Christ. That's what he's defined as in Romans chapter 16. May, as I start the message, first commend you as a church in which there are so many helpers to the leadership here in so many countless ways. I was meeting with new to the church class tonight, and we were talking about the structure of leadership in the church, and we're talking about heads of departments and ministries, and I began to just review a little bit of that with those in that class, and it was reminded me of all the countless ways that you are upholding the arms of leadership in this local church. What allows the vision of reaching the lost and training the saved and building young people and old alike and reaching the world and helping families to grow in what pleases the Lord is a local church ministry, and it has to be supported by helpers. There must be lots of Aarons and hers. And may I say, at Mount Zion Baptist Church, I am overwhelmed with the amount of them. Just being, having gone through the latest process with the building and having men around me to give advice and to pray with over important matters and important decisions. And then to go over last Thursday night and know that the congregation was overwhelmingly in support of pursuing the property and the building puts your pastor at ease and encourages my heart. Then 20 or 25 people were present just to be there as support and encouragement. I know everybody couldn't do that. I know everybody has schedules, but it just reminded me as I was studying this week of Aaron and hers just holding the arms up. And I just want to say to you as a church tonight, I commend you on it. And I want you to know it ministers to me as your pastor. We have had the privilege, however, not just to help here. Down through the years, Mount Zion has carried a vision to not just help here, but to be helping across the world. Years ago, Dr. and Mrs. Starr and Brother Ingalls went to help the Hickocks over in Brazil. Then they went down, and Dr. Starr and Brother Ingalls went out to assist and encourage Dave Warner, our missionary, out in South Dakota, by whom we still have a working relationship with today, and was just here to report of his work just a month or two ago. We took two groups of people to help Brother Hart and Mr. and Mrs. Slaughter down in Mexico. A number of years ago, many of you were on that trip and had the privilege of going down and ministering and helping and being alongside of those missionaries. We sent Brother Jared down to help the Shrocks in Cambodia. We sent a group to help the Newtons and Loops and Pereiras over in Portugal. William Fry went to Zambia to help the team in Zambia. Susan Petty was just over in Zambia in January of this year to help Brother Rich and Gina and the work that is over in Zambia. Bob and Cindy Fry went over to help Pastor Rich and Gina in Zambia. We have a lot invested over there in that ministry. Beth Lee went over for a few months during her college years to help Brother Rich and Gina in Zambia. We took a teen trip to help with a church plant in Montana a number of years ago, if you remember that. Brother Waldemeyer was on that trip. You remember sitting in that motel? We were sitting in a motel. The young people and some of the other adults were doing things for the building, but we are sitting in that motel, and we're making maps for their canvassing. And we were doing it probably 6-8 hours a day, would you say? I mean, one map right after another map. But you know what? That's what the missionary needed. In order for the work to go on, that's what had to be done. So you know what? We sat at the computer, and we did it. And we had a good time in fellowshipping and had a good time serving the Lord on that trip. We have sent a group of men down to Mississippi to help a church, local church, after Hurricane Katrina hit. And some of you were able to go down to Mississippi. And you remember putting shingles on that building and trying to fix things up and having a big gymnasium full of all kinds of supplies for people in the area to come. And the church ministered in a great way. And our men got to be a part of that. And you'll never forget that, helping that preacher down there. Brother Ingalls has taken a trip with Brother Sturtz on a Bible distribution campaign to assist and help. That's all. To assist and help. Brother Gene, you did it when you could. God bless you. God bless you. I know Mr. and Mrs. Hall, who are with us tonight, have been on Bible distribution campaigns with the Sturtz. Another group from our church went to Mexico to help Bearing Precious Seed in evangelistic meetings and local national pastors. And some of you were on that trip. And Warren and Kathy Dirks and Terry Davis went to Greenland to help missionary Chris Shaw to a country where there's never been a Baptist church to now a country that has a Baptist church. Brother Davis was just back there, in fact, this year, helping to expand their building and prepare for growth over in Greenland. We took a group of young people to Canada to help Brother Robinson as he tried to get a work off the ground there. In large part, Brother Davis's ministry and my mother and father's ministry is a helps ministry in many regards, because they go in and they just minister where the pastor would have them minister. You see, in many regards, pastors and missionary families of small works or works that are just getting started are in need of helps ministry. Now watch this. We firmly believe in church planting. Okay? We believe that is the key to the gospel being spread, is planting local, independent Baptist churches that become autonomous and self-governing and then propagate the gospel, and they believe in missions and they begin to send out people from their church. We believe that, but we also believe that the smaller churches, the ministries just getting off the ground, need help. And we want to stand in the gap and be an Aaron and a Hur to help them. And we have done that as a church over and over and over again. I just gave you a slew of them and we probably forgot some. But we have been able to minister as a church to other churches and other regions. We again are going for that purpose. This missions team is leaving on August 18th, 5 weeks from yesterday, to assist a father-son team and their families that have planted 4 works on the Navajo reservation. From everything that I can detect, these people are not slouches. These people are going after it. These churches are planted an hour and a half between each other, and they are holding services. Sometimes they're doing double duty in between churches on a Sunday. You and I go home. We have Sunday school Sunday morning. We go home, have a relaxing afternoon, and come back and have church. Some of you go to nursing home and your afternoons cut short a little bit, or choir and your afternoons cut short. But we're talking about men that have served the Lord for years on this reservation and have doubled up on services just to get the gospel to different areas of the reservation. My friend, these people are committed. These are not people that are fly-by-nights. They have been on the job in that area for 20 years. And they just started a new church in Pinyon this last year. So we are excited about going to a place where these people are committed to working and serving the Lord. It's Mark and Tricia Haynes, and then Joel and Fabiola Haynes. And Joel and Fabiola have 3 children, Joel Jr., Judah, and Joseph. You say, what is the ministry then, preacher, of an Aaron or a Hur? Number one, it is the ministry of reinforcement. When you become an Aaron or a Hur to somebody, you then put into gear the ministry of reinforcement. Look at your text, if you will. I want you to understand some background leading into the verses that we read. They did not go into this battle with the Amalekites with everything going smooth, with everybody on the same page, with the church, so to speak, or the nation of Israel, more accurately spoken, with everybody in harmony and, man, we're going to take out the enemy. They went into this battle with all kinds of conflict, complaining, leader at odds with people, people at odds with the leader. In fact, in verse number 2, the Bible says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto the Lord in verse number 4, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. I wouldn't say that everything is peaceful. I wouldn't say that there's great unity among the brethren. A lot of trouble going on in the camp. And then notice, the Bible says in verse number 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, trouble and bitterness, the word meanings are, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Not only was there problems within, but there was a real problem with God. Lord, I don't even think you're with us. This is the mindset of the people. Now watch this, verse number 8. Then came Amalek. Boy, the enemy didn't come when everything was strong. The enemy came when everything, there was trouble everywhere. That's when the enemy showed up. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I want you to notice in the verses prior to this battle that Moses was beaten down with the attitude of the people. Moses was of the mindset, these people want to stone me. What do I do with these people, God? These people are murmuring and complaining and chiding and full of strife. These people are not walking with the Lord. These people are not controlled by the Spirit. I want you to notice that as Moses goes into the battle, that is the background of what is taking place. Then came Amalek. I want you to know this, that every local church ministry has victories and defeats. True. Every local church ministry has things that you can rejoice about and has things that you can cry about. That is ministry. And every local church has it. I have no idea what we are walking into with Pastor Mark Haynes and his son, Pastor Joel Haynes. But I do know this. I do know that if we live out the ministry of Aaron and Hur, we can be reinforcements. We can be a reinforcement to them. Reinforcements always provide strength and encouragement and help with the work. We are going to help with the work. Notice in verse number 12, the Bible says, but Moses' hands were heavy. By the way, I don't think it was just his hands that were heavy. I believe his heart was heavy. I believe he went into battle with a heavy heart. But his hands are heavy. Physically, he is weary. Here the scripture says, and they, who's that? That's Aaron and Hur. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Notice the reinforcements here. Israel was facing a threat from the Amalekites, but there were men in place to support weak Moses, weary Moses, in battle. Joshua was on site. Not directly with Moses, but the Bible says that Joshua was down in the valley. He was fighting with the sword. Aaron and Hur were on site. They were right there. Joshua was a frontline soldier. Aaron and Hur were up on the mountain holding up his hands. Watch this. Not everybody had the same job, but every job was important. Joshua may have said, Moses, why don't you come down here? Let us change places. I'll lift my hands, you be the soldier. But Joshua didn't do that. Joshua understood where he was needed. And Aaron and Hur understood where they were needed. Can you see it? Watching the battle from the field, from the mountain. And maybe I should be down there. Oh, look at Moses' hands though. Oh, let's help him. All day. Why are they there? Doesn't seem like that big a job. Oh, it was a big job because the Bible says as long as Moses' hands were stayed, what happened on the battlefield? They won. So not only did it take Joshua and the skill of a sword down on the battlefield, it actually took two men that said, if our job is to hold the hands up of the leader, then that's what we're going to do. Brethren, having an Aaron and Hur mentality doesn't argue about the type of the task. It keeps the focus of winning the battle in front of you and says, hey, whatever has to be done to get there, let's do it. Their goal was simple. Every one of them, defeat the Amalekites. Now, task had to be delegated. People had to be picked out for different things. And all of that had to come together. And everybody had to do their part. That's what I say, no matter where you're at, just do your part. Just plug in. Just lift somebody's hand. Just say, man, if that's what needs to be done in order for all of this to get done for the work of the Lord, then let's do it. That was the mindset that Aaron and Hur had. There must be a same goal. They were willing to unite their strength to fulfill the goal. Moses didn't have enough strength in and of himself. If Moses was by himself on the mountain, guess what? The hands would have what? Come down. They would have. The Bible says his hands were heavy. His arms were heavy. He wasn't going to last by himself. And so he had to have Aaron and Hur to what? Okay. Aaron's not by himself. Moses isn't by himself. Hur's not by himself. Joshua's not by himself. We're together. You know, in sports, there's a phrase that goes like this. Strength in numbers. And oftentimes a sports team will talk about that in relationship to their fan base and being at their sporting event. That there is encouragement, there is support, there is strength. You know, that's a Bible truth. That's not just a sports truth. There is strength in numbers. And here they had numbers. They had to coordinate with one another. They had to commit themselves to the post. Those of you going on the missions trip, I have no idea what your individual responsibilities are going to be every day. But can I say this? Just make sure you fulfill them. Just get done what's given to you to get done. It may be providing water for somebody. It may be making a meal. It may be up in an attic putting itchy insulation in on a hot day. It may be sitting with children in one of the church services. It could be teaching a lesson. But can I say this? It doesn't matter what it is. Do it. Be an Aaron or her. Oh, that needs done? Okay, I got that. I'll take care of that. Why did they need an Aaron and a Hur? It seems like they weren't important to the actual fighting. As we arrive, all tasks given to us by the missionary will be important. If they weren't important, the missionary wouldn't give them. We are at the disposal of the missionary. We're not coming in to tell him how to do his work. God will lead him how to do his work. We're there to assist him with the work that he's been called to. So whatever he tells us to do as we go, guess what? We are servants to him. We say, yes, sir. What's your next order? I got that done. Is there something else that I can help with? Whatever you need, missionary. Whatever you need, Brother Haynes. That's our heartbeat. That is how you are a reinforcement. Reinforcements give hope. Here's Moses. I'm not going to make it. Not going to make it. Oh, maybe I will. Oh yeah, we're going to make it. That's what a reinforcement does. A reinforcement gives hope. A reinforcement breathes fresh air to that missionary. The ministry of reinforcement. Number two, the ministry of relief. The ministry of relief. Someone has well said, when the arms get tired, the work slows down. There's some truth in that. When you get physically worn down, you don't work as fast, probably. You probably slow down a little bit. But when relief is there, you can continue the pace. Here we have on a track a relay team. Of the 1,600, 400 for each leg of the race. Here comes somebody and they have given their all on their 400, but they are wiped. Ask them to do another 400, and they're not going to do it at the pace they just ran the first 400. And so what happens? The baton is what? It's passed. Now we have a runner what? Fresh. We have somebody with vim and vigor. We have somebody that's ready. We have somebody that's ready to go all out for it. And it's passed, and guess what that runner does? He goes all out 400. Meters, a lap around the track. Guess what? the end of that 400 meters, he's a huffing and a puffing. And he's saying to himself, boy, I'm glad I'm not going six. And he does what? He passes the baton again. And what happens? You have somebody fresh. Team going on the missions trip, church, get behind these things. Because it's like we're going on site. And the missionary's been at it. The missionary's been at it, been at it, been at it, been at it. They've been at it all summer. They've had a number of VBSs out there. They've worked diligently. They work all the time in this ministry. But understand it's a new church that they're starting. Understand that there's not a lot of manpower in that church to be able to get that thing going. And here comes a missions team. We don't want to go to be a burden. We want to go to be a blessing. We want to go to relieve. We want to come in fresh. We want to come in with vim and vigor and energy and positive news and a positive attitude and come in and just boost that missionary and relieve him a little bit and put some freshness on the floor beside him. The Bible says the glory of young men is their strength and the beauty of old men is the gray head. You know, we got a lot of young men going on this trip, and what is their glory? Eric, what's the glory? Strength. Strength. And so they get an opportunity to use their strength. Notice that Aaron and Hur noticed Moses was getting weak. They noticed the pattern on the battlefield. They were alert to what was going on. And so they didn't give Moses a lecture or a pep talk. They simply practically helped him. They put a stone underneath of him. Let him sit down. They lifted the weight. Assistants are only tasked with one goal, and that is to help the leader to succeed. Those of you going on the trip, hear me tonight. Get your heart set on this. We only have one purpose. That is help the leader. Help the Haynes family. Let's go and lift their arms. Let's go and relieve them. Let's go and assist them. If Aaron and Hur did not help Moses lift his staff, but instead each one lifted his own staff, there would be three different staffs on the hill. Downward, or down in the valley, the warriors would see three staffs. Listen, if you are assisting in the nursing home ministry, or you are assisting in the jail ministry, or you are assisting and there's someone, a leader, that's a leader over you, be an assistant. We can't have five people going different directions. That's why God gives us leadership. Jump in behind the leader and assist the leader and do it in order to help the leader accomplish what God's put in his heart. That's what Aaron and Hur did with Moses. They got in behind what Moses was doing in the battle that he was involved in. Often missionaries feel like they are by themselves, that most of the work falls on their shoulders. Here at Mount Zion Baptist Church, we have a lot of people that lift loads, relieve work pressures, work together. But a missionary doesn't always have that. If we can minister to their people, be friendly to them, show a smile, take interest in them, if we can take care of some cleanup, if we can take care of some help in the buildings, if we can cover some literature areas with literature distribution and witnessing, what a relief we could provide. It may mean in the way of music in the churches. I know our groups are, we're getting ready to nail all that down. It may mean by the way of teaching and preaching. It may be by being a boost in their midweek prayer meeting as we'll visit different prayer meetings. It certainly will involve in working on the building. It may mean a relief, watch this, from loneliness in the families. See, often when you go to a missionary work, you don't see all the needs that God sees, that God's going to have you meet. The ministry of relief. Thirdly, the ministry of refreshment. The ministry of refreshment. Now look at these verses. Verse number 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? You know, when there's chiding going on, it affects the leader big time. Really does. It affects the leader. Moses was affected here. Verse number 7, he called the name of the place Massah, testing, and Meribah, quarreling, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Moses said of that place, let me name it for what it is. We were tested here, and we argued and had fights here. Let me name it for what it is. Now, look at verse number 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. In these three verses, 2, 7, and 12, how would you portray Moses the leader at this time? Boy, he's jumping up and down, preacher. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think his spirit, as we talked about this morning, was stooped. I think there was heaviness in his heart that caused his heart to stoop. But watch this. Look at verse number 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Whoa, there's a change here. Now Moses is building an altar representing victory. And he's saying the Lord is our banner. You see any change of spirit between verse 2, 7, 12 and verse number 15? I do. You say, preacher, what played a part in that? Obviously, victory. But I also think Aaron and her. Refreshment. Aaron and her refreshed Moses by helping Moses in the responsibilities in order that Israel might see victory. Moses ultimately was dependent upon God, and God provided the manpower for the work. So it is with missionaries and church planters. We hope to refresh them. We plan to take a monetary love gift to these dear missionaries. We plan to be a blessing to them. We hope to encourage their hearts and develop a fellowship and enjoy fellowship with them. This is all part of a missions trip. And team, I'm really preaching to you tonight to begin your heart to be stirred in the right direction so that you go on the trip and are a blessing and not a burden. We're not going on the trip to look to be blessed. We're going on the trip looking to be a blessing. And when you look to be a blessing and you give of yourself, guess what does happen in the end? You are blessed. Lastly, the ministry of rejoicing. The ministry of rejoicing. Look at verse number 16. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You know what happens at the end? They build an altar. They name it Jehovah Nissi. And there's rejoicing that takes place. You know what? When you get together and do God's work with God's people, guess what happens at the end? You get to rejoice. There's something to rejoice about. There's accomplishment. There's work done. There's lives impacted. There's buildings that are put up that will affect that area for years to come. And we get to be a part of all that. Church, that's why we take short-term trips. Now watch this. We're taking one now. But the truth is, in a message like this, God could be putting in someone's heart, you know what, preacher, I'd like to take one of those. You know, I'd like to get somewhere and help a missionary somewhere. I'd like to give up some of my summer somewhere. I'd like to give up a week or two. I'll take a week off work because I got a burden, and I got a burden to be a helper, and I want to be an Aaron and a her. But watch this. If you're going to do that, then be an Aaron or a her here. Start in your local church. The ministry of Aaron and her starts in the local church.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.